Amen. Well, we're going to have Miss Trish is going to come and share the word with us this morning. We've been hearing from some of our young leaders, the word that the Lord has put in their heart. Miss Erin shared last week a beautiful word on how to find Jesus in every book of the Bible. He's there. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of Jesus. The book of Revelation begins by saying, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of horror, not the revelation of destruction. It is the revelation, it is the work and the person of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. Amen. And it's a beautiful story from beginning to end. And so we're blessed by that and so thankful. And Caleb shared before that about the ministry in Marshall University, Chi Alpha. And if you did not get a chance to sign up to be a sponsor for him, or if you'd like to send a one-time offering, or if you want to sow into that ministry, he has some little circles back there for Chi Alpha. You can connect with Jim and Sherry, and they can also help you to connect there as well. So this morning, we have our youth pastor who's going to share with us. She is a woman of many talents, and she has a heart for Jesus. So you help her preach, and she'll preach the house down.
Amen. Good morning. Amen. Everybody just say amen to Lisa, and we could go. That'd be all right. All right. Well, it is good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be here, and, you know, I'm just reminded a lot this morning of just, man, is anyone else so thankful to sit in this house that we sit in under the leadership and the guidance that we sit under here, and how filled with hope it is? Because it's not like that everywhere, and sometimes we forget that sometimes, because we're here, and this is what is being fed to us constantly. And, you know, I am just very thankful because, you know, I've been witness to some things where I look at churches and the people are starving because they're being fed something that just isn't filling. It's not lasting. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for what we have here. So I'll just ask you guys to please bear with me this morning because I haven't ever preached off of my iPad before. So we're going to see how this goes. I'm already having an issue here, so we'll see how it goes. I was going to start with something else anyway, so we'll give that a minute to get its heart right with the Lord. The first thing I wanted to share this morning, you know, we were singing that song this morning, and everybody has repeated it, and I think it's because it's just echoing in the souls of people in this house this morning, because we're so appreciative of the fact that we have a God who hears us when we pray. And Megan, this morning, I was just reminded while we were singing that song, but, you know, the Lord just, you know, said to me for you this morning, you've sought the Lord, and you've heard, and you've answered. And as a human being and as a friend of yours, you know, we can obviously see the strength of your faith and the way that you and Tony model your lives and your businesses and in your family and everything. But I want you to know that the Lord sees you this morning. And he knows that you've sought him. And he has answered you. And you can stand on the promise of what God has promised you in your life. Because he hears you when you pray. He cares about the things we care about. And he cares about you. And I'm over the moon excited for you guys and the favor of God in your lives and what I know we're going to see continue to happen in your lives and in your businesses and in everything that you do. Just thank the Lord for that in your lives. I don't want to embarrass you or anything. Weston and Lexia, just the Lord spoke to me about you two this morning. And he just wanted to remind you that this is a season for you two, that it's time to arise and build. And what I was reminded of this morning is that you both have a foundation that has been built under you that is strong. And you're coming into the season of your lives where now you're adulting just like the rest of us, right? And you have been for a little while, but school's over. And I'm sure at times it may feel a little overwhelming. to know that. But I want you to know that the Lord sees you, and he is saying this morning that if you arise and if you build and if you continue to just build on the foundation that has been placed under you, and you can take those things that you have heard throughout your lives and build on those, and there may be things that you're like, I'm not real sure what I'm going to do with that, what I was taught in Sunday school, or what that is going to look like in my adulthood. But just know that every place that the Lord has had you walk through in your life thus far has led you to this moment and this time. And if you will believe and you will trust in him, this life that you guys are building now is going to be far more than you could ever imagine, ask, or think. I just believe that. Arise and build. Amen. All right. We're going to close this, and we're going to reopen it. Because for some reason, the entire top part is missing. Give me just a second. I'm going to lay hands on it. Yeah. Where's Jax? Jackson, come here. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Look at that for a second. Yeah. That's all right. So my second scripture I gave you today, Lisa, if you wouldn't mind bringing that one up. Yeah, I think so. 5:22? Yeah. We'll go there first. This is familiar for you guys. And so it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so we talked about this a little bit in youth group this week, and I wanted to just kind of recap that real quickly because it kind of tied into what I was already working on. You have no idea. Well, that's okay. It's all right. Y'all just might get the second half of the message. It's all right. So the fruit of the Spirit, we were talking about that this week at youth group. And what we talked about, and I'm not going to belabor it because they're up on first Sunday of the month, so I won't make them go through the whole thing again. I didn't even bring my object lesson that we did with them. But, you know, I had brought, what's that? Oh, yeah, they ate the object lesson. That's the secret to youth pastoring, by the way. If you feed them, they will come. Yes, that is the truth. But I brought with me a bag of fruit on Wednesday evening, and it was, they were plums, but they were called cherry plums. I found them at the store. I thought they looked good. I'm a big cherry fan, and so I had these plums, and they were regular plums, except they were very small. They're probably only about that big. And I brought those, and, you know, what we talked about was the fruit of the Spirit, and a lot of times, you know, there's 9 fruit of the Spirit, and how we live our lives sometimes, how we think about the fruit of the Spirit is that we toss out a little love one day, and we toss out a little gentleness, and I threw plums at them at this point. I'll save you from that this morning. And we throw out some self-control, and then we do things like we see other people who may not exhibit those fruit in their lives. And so then we like to say, well, that person doesn't have any self-control, and that person doesn't have any love or any gentleness or any kindness. And so we make a determination about that. And so going into baptism next week, we were talking about that, you know, and when I bought that bag of fruit from the store, I obviously rinsed it under the water in my sink because bugs. And other people probably touched them. So so I rinsed it. And, you know, we were talking about baptism. And we know baptism is an outward sign of an inward work, right? We know that the baptism is not what cleans us. It's not what cleanses us from our sins, right? And so, but we do it as a symbolization of what the Lord has done inside of us. And what the Lord's done inside of us is just like every one of those plums that I passed out to the kids on Wednesday, is there's a seed inside of that, right? There was a little tiny seed because they were cherry plums. It was very small. And that seed has been planted inside each one of us in our relationship with God. And because of what Jesus did on the cross for each one of us. And we've talked a little bit about it lately where, you know, sometimes we have situations where we might be responding to situations in our lives that are coming from a place of maybe an immature man or something like that. And we grow over time and we develop all of these things. And so we know about the fruit of the Spirit. And what I reminded the kids about tonight is that we don't toss out this fruit of love and this fruit of self-control and this fruit of goodness and all of that because of how we're feeling that day. Some days our emotions drive our responses. Does anybody else feel that way? I am what's considered now a middle-aged woman. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Can you believe that? You know, and you know, I think about that. You know, Monty's probably like, he's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, it's sounding good to you because he remembers when I showed up here almost 30 years ago at 15 years old. And I didn't know anything about anything. And that is the truth. And, you know, I showed up here, and I've grown up here, and now I sit here. Yeah, one of the kids a few months ago called me middle age, and that's, I haven't forgot it. They've been bumped down the list. No, it was that one, that cute, newly 16-year-old, that's who it was. But that's okay. He's not wrong. You know, but we had a reminder conversation about how we speak truth in the spirit of love. That's what we do, right? One time a few years ago, and I'm a storyteller, and so I apologize. I go on some rabbit trails. But a few years ago, I had gotten sick, some sort of, you know, respiratory cold, whatever, it's during COVID. So of course, any sickness that you have is the plague. And so, you know, you're only allowed to see people in parking lots. And so I go to urgent care and I am treated through the window of my car and everything's fine. You know, I just go on because there's no medicine that they're giving you at this time. And it's like, you're just going to have to kind of go through this and let it play its way through your body, and it's like, okay. So anyway, I get home, and of course, you know, we have the My Chart that you can log on to and see, you know, your doctor's notes. And this lovely, lovely man types some notes out in My Chart, and you want to know what it said about me? It referred to me as a pleasant 41-year-old woman, ill-appearing. Pleasant 41-year-old, ill-appearing. That was rude, is what that was. It was rude. And so I haven't forgot about that, you know, almost 4 years ago, and I probably won't ever forget about it. And I told Sean, do not put that on my tombstone. But so anyway, you know, we have these, we grow up. And we mature in our faith, and we learn more and more about who God is in our lives. And I certainly do not ever want to get to a place where I would say, well, I figured it all out, and there's nothing else more for me to learn, right? Because that's just simply not true. It really isn't. And we know, and you could ask anybody in this room, younger, older, whatever, about that. And if they are being truly honest with you, they're going to tell you that's not true. Because God will show himself in every manner of our lives when we're looking. The problem is sometimes we don't look. Right? And so we talked about this fruit at youth group, and we talked about how washing it under the water doesn't fully clean it. That isn't how our sins are washed away. We know that that seed is planted inside of us, and that fruit is one fruit that us in our lives each day, we can peel off a piece of that fruit or peel off a piece of who we are and share that with those people that are around us in the way that we speak and think and respond to the people around us to show those fruit in our lives, right? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit, it's not fruits of the Spirit, right? That's how it says it. And so what we have to remember, though, is that for us to be able to practice the fruit in our lives, we have to practice it. So a lot of times, that's just not how I am. That's just not my personality. You know, so-and-so's nicer than me. So-and-so's, you know, doing something better or different or worse or whatever than me. That's what we do. We play comparison, right? And we know comparison is a thief. Because it'll take our joy, it'll take our contentment, it will take from us what God has placed in us, but the reason why it's been taken is because we have not practiced the gratitude that we need in our lives to recognize God working, okay? So a lot of us, and we hear this all around us constantly, especially right now, about how bad the world is, about how people are reacting and living in such a way that is different than maybe what we think they should or whatever that is. And I'm not going to go into great detail of that, but what I will say is that if we want to see the world changed, it has to start with us. And that isn't cliche. That's the truth. If we are putting out that fruit that has been placed inside of us to the people around us, you know, it may not make national news that day. I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you're looking for, you know, something like a pat on the back for something like that because we didn't yell at our husbands on that day, that isn't what's going to happen. Unfortunately, right? But if we do it every day, and if we practice it, and we show what that looks like and we model it to the people in our lives, I think that is where we will see a change. Because we've certainly, you know, there's plenty of us in the room that have witnessed kind of the pendulum swing of how people live their lives, right? In the church, morally, ethically, all of those things. We've seen the, and we talk about it here, about, you know, those times where, you know, in religion where the law was what we needed to follow perfectly to be accepted by God, right? There's a, you know, there's certainly a time and there's still people who live in that time of if we're not doing everything just right, then maybe we're not going to make it. But we know that's not true, right? Because we know that our righteousness comes by right standing with God. We know that we receive that right standing with God because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, right? And it's Jesus plus nothing. What he did was enough. To say that anything else needs to be done for you to be accepted by God means that Jesus wasn't enough. And we know that's not true, right? So all of that to say, we do have to practice this fruit in our lives. And so, Lisa, could I ask you for that first one then, the Colossians one? And so this scripture mimics a lot of the fruit of the Spirit that we just read. And so it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So both Colossians and Galatians, both letters that Paul wrote, you know, whether it was to two different people, but the words are the same. And if you could go back like four scriptures on that, to one, the one that talks about forgiving one another. There we go. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. So just hold that up there for a second. And so I think, you know, a lot of times when we talk about things like this, we're like, well, Trish, you don't really know what I have to deal with. You don't know what it's like to deal with the people I work with or my family or my kids or my spouse or whatever. But you know, the Lord does, you know? And he specifically says in these words, bear with one another. He knew we're humans. He knew that some people are just scoundrels. Some people, sometimes we are just scoundrels. Sometimes we are unbearable. Sometimes, depending on somebody's own life situation, we don't ever know, you know, what may lead someone to be the person that they are standing in front of you. And so it says, bear with one another, forgive one another as you have been forgiven, right? It says, forgive the grievances that you have against one another, right? And so we know, I mean, I think Paul tells us straight up, someone is going to make you mad at some point. Right? We know that. Right? And so, but the response that we are to have in those situations is not, well, what you need to do is just vent about it. Maybe what you should do is do a really well-worded, articulate Facebook or Instagram post about all of the grievances in the world that you have right now. Has anyone ever done it and it's helped? Because I type them out. I get all my grievance out, and then I delete all of it. And the reason why I do is this. One, because it's just not what you should be doing. But the other is because when I started my Facebook page in 2009, I liked to post to Facebook and just say things like what I was currently doing. Washing clothes. Just made dinner. It was delicious. I don't even know that I posted pictures. I think it was just words because I probably still had a flip phone. But those things come up in our memories sometimes on Facebook. And they'll come up and I'll be like, oh my gosh. I'm going to die of embarrassment. And then I didn't realize that if you tagged someone, it shows up in their memories too. So my sister-in-law, she's good for it. I must have tagged her a good bit because she'll screenshot them and send them to me and be like, look what you posted in 2009. And you just want to die of embarrassment, right? Because who cares, right? Nobody cares I was making dinner on a Tuesday evening in 2009. Sean cared, right? Sean did care. But I think about that sometimes when I put stuff out there on Facebook and I was like, in 18 or 19 years or whatever in the future that I'm looking at these memories, do I really want to see the fact that I blasted somebody who made me mad on social media? No, I don't want to. No. And nobody else really does either. And that's what we need to remember. Now, does that mean that things don't happen that are just super frustrating and hard? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what we have to choose to do is say, okay, if I'm going to put this out there and I'm going to say all of these negative words, and I might be right, right? Because I believe in justice. Like, I believe people who did the wrong thing should be in trouble for it, right? But that isn't going to help me. That isn't going to grow the seed that's inside of me. And the fact of the matter is that that's what this is about, right? That's, it's about developing our relationships with Christ. It's about strengthening the people around us. It's about edifying and glorifying God and magnifying Him in everything that we do, right? And so if that's the stance that we're taking, then taking our grievances to Facebook aren't the way to go, right? And so it's just a mindset change that I feel like I've kind of seen within myself and some people around me over the past several years. That there's a person that I follow on social media, and he says, make the important thing the important thing, right? So, you know, a lot of times what we do is we know what's important and we know what we value and we know what our goals and our dreams and our aspirations are, but we let all of these things come in and crowd it out, and we focus on the thing that isn't important, right? Lisa shared on social media, and she shared it on Tuesday night at the ladies' event, and you got, if you didn't know, there's some sitting in the back. But she was talking about how we get overcrowded in our lives. Right? And so she has some cat and kittens back there, hens and chicks, whatever you want to call them, the succulents back there. And so what happens is you get so many of them growing in the pot that they get overcrowded. And then what happens is you know, the ones that are closer to the ground are sucking all the moisture out of the dirt. And then the ones that aren't getting enough moisture, then they start to kind of dry up and die off. And you've got to clean the pot out and gift them to someone to be able to keep your plant healthy, right? And so that's what she did. But that's what we do sometimes. We let that stuff come in and overcrowd what the important thing is. So keep the thing that's important, important, right? Focus on that. You know, when we're over here in youth group, what I say to people all the time is we are not running a behavior rehabilitation program over here. That isn't what we do. Because that's not our job. And our focus, the important thing for us, is that we teach these kids about Jesus and that we teach them who they are in Christ. That's our two goals. And so I'll put up with any manner of shenanigans, you know. They can be bouncing off the walls, acting crazy, whatever they want to do. Eat a goldfish, fine, eat a goldfish, I don't care. don't eat a goldfish. don't eat a goldfish. but so I say that to say that we don't allow disrespect. You know, the thing we tell them all the time is that you have to respect yourself, the people around you, and us as leaders. Pretty much everything else, you can be who you are. Because the thing is, the shenanigans, that's how we learn and we grow. I mean, we've all been young and we've done dumb things, right? And, you know, we're going to make sure everybody's safe. And we're going to make sure that everyone's healthy. But, you know, we are focusing on the important thing. We're keeping the important thing the important thing. Because, you know, I'm to the point now in this that I've been doing it for a little while. And at this point, we've had generations of kids come through this youth group. And now we've got, you know, the kids that are the kids of ones that came through, you know. And, you know, that's what I have learned over the years, that if, you know, I came from a household that what I would say, we didn't necessarily put a whole lot of value on children. Sometimes you kind of felt like you were just noise with dirt on it as a kid, you know. You were kind of the thing that was the problem or caused the issue or whatever. And so as kids, I think that we have to remember that we're teaching them about Christ and we're teaching them who they are in Christ. And we're doing that in a way that not just says to them that they have value, which they do, but that their value comes from a Savior who loves them. and that that's what we're focusing on. Because there's a lot of things in this world that we as adults, our kids encounter every day, all day, that's going to tell them that they're valuable, right? Our school systems, different things that we interact with all the time, they're going to tell them that they're valuable. And we'll be drawn to the things in our lives that make us feel valued, right? You know, it's the reason why, if you know, this show in the late 70s and early 80s, Cheers, it's where everybody knows your name, right? And so, you know, it's the place where people gathered and they felt valued and they had friendships because it was the only place they could go in their lives where they could be themselves, right? You know, there's a lot of places that we can go that may make us feel like that. But as the church and as leaders in the church, this should be the place where they feel most valuable. And the reason is because the value doesn't come from inside of us, but from what Christ did for us and has placed in each one of us, the indwelling presence of God, right? So it's just one of those things where, you know, when we are thinking about and we are talking about our value as Christians in this world and what part that we play and the purpose that we have in our lives. I read recently that when God has called you to a purpose, that doesn't guarantee success. And I thought about that for a minute, and then I read more of what was in there. Because, you know, I kind of see stuff and, you know, I'm pretty quick to form an opinion about something when I see it. And then I kind of have to take a beat and reassess and mull it around in my brain. And so I went on and read more of it. And what they were saying was that when we are walking out the purpose of God in our lives, sometimes there's not success. Sometimes we fail, you know, whether it is, you know, in business and relationships and whatever it is that we do. Sometimes there is failure. What does that mean, that God didn't call us there? No, because walking out our purpose is not about success. It's about obedience, right? And obedience, the scripture says, is better than sacrifice. And we'll do this as human beings. We'll sacrifice all kinds of things. We'll like, well, I'll give up this. I won't, you know, if we want to, this is one thing I used to do when I was a kid. I would get left a to-do list during the summer. And it would have items that I needed to make sure that I got done during the day before my parents got home. And most of the time, I hated every single item on that list. But mostly, more so, I hate being told what to do. So what I tried instead was, instead of doing the five things on that list, I would do five other things that I wanted to do more, right? And so Sherry can attest to this, because I spent a lot of time at the Murray House when I was a teenager, and I would do things like, Sherry, if you don't make me go to school tomorrow, I will organize your laundry room. And she'd say, call your mother. And I would, and mom would say, I don't care. So I would organize the laundry room. And it's because instinctively inside of us sometimes, maybe you're a little like me and you just don't want to be told what to do, right? Or maybe it's just our nature to want to be in control of our own actions or whatever. But I would do five different things than what was on that list. And then they would get home from work and I would be in trouble because I didn't do the five things on the list. But I'd be like, but I did these. And to me, I was like, that should be good enough, right? But obedience is better than sacrifice. Because I sacrificed my time, energy, and effort in doing the five things that I came up with. Right? All the cabinets are organized, right? You know, because I'm a stress cleaner, right? A stress organizer. Anybody else? Yeah. Makes us feel a little better. Because we're just trying to get something in order in our lives, right? And it doesn't matter if there's 15 other things on our to-do list. If those things are the things that's stressing us out, we'll just turn that list over. Do something else that makes us feel a little better. Makes us feel like we're in control, right? And that's what we do as people. We just want to be in control, right? And all God is saying is, I don't want your sacrifice. I just want your obedience, right? And if you'll obey me, and if you'll do what I have called you to do, success or failure, obedience is what I've called you to. And so there's power in obedience. And so I'm learning as I get older, and I'm going to continue to learn this because it is bred deep in me of the, I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. But I am learning more and more about how being obedient to what God has called us to is truly what will bring us closer to Him, right? And so obedience is important. And so my third scripture, the 2 Corinthians 10, Lisa, it says, there we go. Mine's worded a little different for some reason. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so if you could go back to one on that one, Lisa. I found this interesting. So if you all notice, timid and bold are in quotations. And I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what I think about that. I feel like someone must have said, you're timid in person when we're face to face, Paul, but in your letters, you're bold. Right? And so he's quoting what has been said about him by someone at some point. And so he's saying to them, okay, well, you guys think that I'm timid face to face. And let's hope I don't have to be as bold as what I think I may need to be, is what Paul's telling them, when I do come to see you face to face. Because what he's attempting to do here is share the gospel. They're sharing what Christ has done. They are breaking down those strongholds that came from the law and what was required of them. And now they're walking in this new day with this Savior that has died, been buried, and been resurrected for all of them. And he is teaching them this. And so he says, so he says about being bold, and it says, I think sometimes we forget the power behind the gospel. We forget sometimes the boldness that needs to come with our articulation of it. And so we have to be bold in our faith, right? Speak life over your friends when they're struggling. Be bold in your prayers with one another. Use wisdom with your friends and family. Gently remind one another when you see someone acting out of an emotional or anxious response that we're called to a purpose. And so we all have those people in our lives that, you know, we are not just called to be friends of one another. We are called, in that second scripture that I shared, we are called to, it said, gently admonish one another. Gently remind people who they are. Be bold in the way that we speak to one another. Because if we don't, then what happens is that voice, that speech that is coming out of our mouths, then becomes the habit instead of the fruit that should be the habit. right? So instead of speaking out of humility or meekness or gentleness or patience or any of those things, we speak out of our anxiety and our depression and our nervousness and all of those things instead. And so then what happens is, have you ever been in a situation where you're kind of speaking out maybe of all, out of your anxiousness or your fear over what's going on in your life, and then that person just jumps right in and gets right on the train with you, right? And now we're both on the anxious train, right? But that isn't where God called us to. He didn't call us. He didn't give us a ticket to ride. That isn't the ticket. That isn't what we're supposed to be doing, right? And so we have to put a stop in the conversation. We have to be bold in our faith to say, okay, wait a minute. I know that this is happening because hard things happen. I mean, we go through things and situations in our lives all the time that are so difficult. And sometimes it might feel like the situations that we are going to in our lives are so hard. And then what happens is something else piles on. Has anyone else ever been in a season that feels like piling on? Right? Yeah. And so I've been in those seasons, and I was thinking about that this morning as well. You know, I shared, you know, about my mom, and, you know, we went through cancer treatment for her last year, and it was, you know, very mild in the grand scheme of when it comes to cancer, and I completely understand that. And so I don't want to take away from anyone who has gone through that experience that has been much more difficult than what we are experiencing so far. But what I was thinking about with mom with this more recent diagnosis is, okay, God, I know that this is going to be okay. Like, we're going to go through this process, and we're going to get her through this. And in my little planning to do brain, you know, I'm already picturing what this calendar is going to look like to be able to get her to where she needs to be every day. And, you know, I'm putting all the pieces in place, you know, because my brain constantly looks like that screen in a Marvel movie where people move stuff around. That's what I feel like sometimes. And so, you know, all of that is happening. The problem is this. I get it honest from my mother. So she's doing the same thing. So then she shares her anxiety about all of that with me. And what I could do is come in and try to control that situation and be like, no, 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 because in my brain it looks like this. You know, and then we're going to have an issue, right? Because now we've got two people who are trying to control a situation that isn't going to work, right? And so, you know, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, what I have been thinking about this is that, you know, what I feel the Lord is going to do is, you know, we all come to seasons in our lives, and I think a lot of times it does happen with people in their later years, because I deal with a lot of people in work that are in their later years, you know, in their, you know, late 70s, 80s, different things like that. And what I see over and over and over again is this recurring theme of feeling lonely. And they feel lonely because they have children, but their children have their own lives. A lot of times their children also have children, and there's, you know, great-grandchildren and everything. And so they're all just trying to live their lives. And so as the parent, sometimes what you don't want to do is pile on to your kids, right? And so then what it comes down to is, okay, well then who can I count on once I get to this stage in life? You know, especially when you are, you know, maybe your spouse has passed away or something like that. And so you really are taking care of a home and having to deal with all of the things, and you feel lonely. And so what I'm trying to remember is that while my mom obviously is not alone, that feeling that you get at this stage in life is very real. And so what my goal in this is going to be, and I'm going to say this out loud because I know you guys will ask me about it later. If I say it out loud, I'm going to hold myself accountable to it, is that what I am trying to do is I want to make sure that my mom doesn't feel lonely through this process, right? And that doesn't mean that it's just, you know, I make sure that I take her to every appointment or something like that. It's not about logistics, right? Because there's a lot of people who you could ask for a ride, right? But it's about the feeling of you have someone that you can count on. But here's the other thing that I know and understand, and Beth talked about it a couple weeks ago. Independence is not a virtue, right? My husband has reminded me of that several times since she's said it. Independence is not a virtue. And what that means in this, it's not my job either to control how she feels in this situation or anything like that. But it's my job to make her feel that she is not forgotten, right? And so that's going to be my goal over the next couple months, is to make sure that she doesn't feel forgotten. Because I think that's such a pivotal moment in people's lives at this stage of life. Because if we allow them to feel lonely, if we allow ourselves to feel lonely in these situations, that is a road that is very hard to come back on, right? And so I want to make sure that, you know, we have gotten a diagnosis that says this is not going to be terminal. This is not going to affect her life greatly. We're going to get through this treatment and she's going to be just fine. I don't want to get on the other side of this and her have felt lonely this entire time. And so now she's not living life the way that she needs to be or the way that she should. I mean, she has two young grandchildren. They're 9 years old. You know, we've got a lot of time. You've got a lot of memories to make. And so those things are important to me. And so that's what I want to make sure that I am doing with the conversations that I have with her when I have the opportunity. So to me, that's bold faith. Because sometimes we think bold faith is standing on our soapbox on the sidewalk. But that isn't bold faith. Bold faith is showing up when people need you. It's saying the thing that might be hard, but needs to be said in the spirit of love, right? Yeah, truth in the spirit of love, right? So, but that's what bold faith looks like. Bold faith looks like conversations that are hard that we have to have. It's conversations that we have with one another or with our kids or whatever. And so the words that we say matter. So what does the atmosphere of your house sound like when someone's rushed in the morning or when your kids or your spouse do something in the morning, they've lost the thing that you've told them where it is 87 times or whatever? What does your house sound like? Does it sound like a joyful noise? Does it sound like a spiritual song? Mine doesn't sometimes. Some would say it's loud, right? Some would say it sounds chaotic, right? Or angry or hurt. Because I don't think I'm the only one in the room that sometimes, I don't know why I do this. It's really dumb to do this. But I'll take it personally. If I told someone something and then they don't remember it, how dare you? I'll get indignant. Well, I said it, right? And you didn't hear me. And so you just must not love me. I'm not the only one. I know it, right? Someone please tell Sean that I'm not the only one. Poor guy. Poor guy. So what does it sound like in your house when that's going on, right? So does it sound like a spiritual song, or does it maybe sound a little bit more like the theme from like Psycho or Jaws? That's what I was thinking about last night. Is it the shower scene from Psycho? And I even said to Sean last night while I was typing some stuff out, I was like, that song that goes, is that from Psycho? He's like, yeah. Yeah. And I didn't even give him any context. None. Or, you know, Jaws, da-da, da-da. You know, like we've all been in those moments where the tensions are a little tight, right? And you can like walk into a room and know something's a little off. And I used, when I worked at a different place, I had a friend there, and we had a boss that wasn't particularly nice, I guess you would just say. And so anyway, you would come in, and you could tell that that person was in a mood. And I would look at my friend, and she'd look at me, and she'd like, it's cold in here today. Yep, it's a little chilly. And so you can feel it before anybody ever says a word, right? You can feel the tensions, right? Tension's not a fruit, right? It's not a fruit of the Spirit. And so we get a little bit kind of up in our feelings sometimes. We get a little upset. We take things a little personally when we shouldn't. Because the fact of the matter is that person probably didn't even hear you at all. Or if they did hear you, it's not like they don't have a million things floating around in their brain either. You know, like we like to try to think that our brains are the only things that are busy and jumbled, and everyone else's must be so clear. Right? But that isn't the truth. So Danny Phillips said it at youth camp, words build worlds. And so I've been thinking about that. And so it's what kind of world are we building in our kids or in our relationships and our marriages and our workplaces, right? What words are we speaking, and what kind of world is that building, right? And so we can all think of some place that we interact with people or we are a part of that, you know, there might be some issues. Maybe there's communication issues or something like that. You know, we can all think of those places that we either deal with today or have in the past, that if we were to have, or if we do, use our words and actually communicate with the people that are around us, what kind of world could we form? Because sometimes I think we're scared that we're going to have to have a confrontation with someone, right? And because of that confrontation, a relationship is going to end, or something really bad is going to happen. But can I tell you that a confrontation is just a very small moment in time, right? And so be bold in your faith when it comes to have hard conversations, right? Because sometimes we fear whatever this outcome is going to be. If we say what we really think or we say what is really true, where it might be difficult for a little bit, right? But then we can move past it. Right? And so I was thinking a confrontation or, you know, if you meet a car in an intersection, right? So, you know, you T-bone a car in an intersection. That initial contact is rough, right? It might get everything a little dinged up, right? But eventually, after everything's worked out, you know, they're going to come, they're going to get some statements, everybody's going to give their best recollection of the events and all of that thing. And then, you know what happens? All the cars are moved. Some of them might have to be towed. Some of them might be able to drive off, right? But in the end, that intersection is empty. And so when we think about confrontations as just a moment in time, and if we're bold in our faith to be able to do that and to have the conversations, we can move on, right? Good or bad. Because sometimes maybe a conversation needs to be had that ends a particular thing, right? But maybe it needs to happen to build the next thing, right? Or to give everybody better understanding of what's going on. Because it would be really difficult for me to go into the office every day and know what my agenda is inside of myself and not communicate that with my admin at all. So I'm buzzing around and doing my thing, and she's just standing there watching me going, I don't even know what's happening right now. And the reverse is true. You know, if we have opposite agendas in a day, then that's going to be an issue. It's the same in our marriages. If one of us is operating on one agenda and the other one's operating on another agenda, that's going to be difficult. So sometimes we'll say things like, okay, I need my focus to be your focus. okay? So that doesn't mean that my focus is always going to be your focus, but for right now, let's prioritize whatever it is that we need to do and focus on that, and then we'll move on to the next thing. And then your focus is going to be my focus, okay? Because if not, then we're just both acting out of a place of anxiety and nervousness because we're afraid if we don't do the right thing, then we'll make the other person mad, right? And so to have real conversations is bold faith, right? And so we speak to ourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So what is the thing that we speak to ourselves in the moments of stress? So not only what are we saying to other people, what are we saying to ourselves, right? I do this thing where when something goes wrong at work, I'll be like, who gave me this job? I was doing that. And then the Lord kind of checked me on it. And he was like, I did, you know? And so it checks us to say, you know, we do things and we're like, you're so dumb. Or why would you do that? Or why would you think that? Or you're not smart enough to do that. Or you're not bold enough to do that. Or whatever the thing is that we say to ourselves, right? We have to watch our words. You know, we were learning in Bible study this year with Jeremy in the back about the spoken word of God and about how, you know, originally, you know, everybody didn't get to start with a Bible, right? This came much later, right? And so in the beginning, the word of God was spoken, right? And so that's how the gospel was spread. And so we need to remember that we've heard the saying that you might be the only Bible anyone ever reads, right? We've heard that before. But there's a lot of truth in that, right? And so if we are the only Bible that anybody's reading, what is it that we're saying? Because we need to be saying something that sounds to them like something that might change their life, something that might have a positive effect on them or their families. Right? Right? And so we have to be mindful of the words that are coming out of our mouths, both to them and about ourselves, because we all do it. We, you know, we say things like that. So what the song that I thought about this morning was, so we sing that gratitude song and it says, stop and say, sometimes we need to say, come on, my soul. Right? Come on, my soul. Don't get shy on me. Because that's what happens. Or, you know, we forget. You know, we get busy or stressed or whatever, and we forget that the soul inside of us belongs to him. So come on, my soul, don't get shy on me. Lift up your song. You've got a lion inside of your lungs. And so I've tried to be more mindful of the things that I say and how I say it, you know, because I mess up. Everybody does. But what we have to know is that the Lord has called us to a purpose. And every situation and circumstance that we come to in our lives is moving us in the direction that he's called us to. And that's where growth comes in. And then we've heard Lisa say a lot of times that you can't complain and praise at the same time. And I am about done if you want to go ahead and grab the kids. But one final thought today. And one thing that I've shared before in youth group is that, you know, a lot of times we come to situations in our lives and we go through hard things and we let those things tear us down and allow us to become hardened or discontent or angry or all of these different things that are not fruit, right? And so one thing that we try to do is what we want to remember is, What we're dealing with, is it a season? Is it just a season in your life? Is it just a circumstance, right? Is it just a circumstance that we're having to deal with? Or is it a choice that we're making that has led us to this hard place? And so if we are thinking about, are we dealing with a circumstance? Sometimes things are just hard. Sometimes the car breaks down. Sometimes the tire blows on the interstate. Sometimes those things happen. That's a circumstance. Is it a season? You know, are you in a season where you're finishing up your degree and you're finishing college? Are you in a season where you've got little kids at home and it's tough? right, every day, right? Are you in a season where you're older and you feel alone, right? There's all kinds of different seasons. Or is this a choice? Are we sitting in these hard places in our lives because of the choices that we have made, right? And that, and there's truth in that. And so we have to determine which of those three places we are, right? So that we can move forward. Because there's always room to change our mind if it's a choice, right? There is always prayer to be able to see yourself through a time of circumstance, right? We know that if we're going through a time of circumstance and we've got to do something to fix our car or replace something at our house or whatever, trusting God in those times and the obedience of trusting God, maybe that feels really hard to you because maybe it's just a hard financial place for you to be. Maybe it's hard because you don't have the time or the energy to deal with this problem right now, right? Or maybe it's just a season, you know, a circumstance or season in life where we just kind of have to get through it. Those babies won't stay babies forever, right? Eventually, they can operate the microwave, right? Eventually, they'll be able to do the things that you have trained and instilled in them, you know, as parents. And so seasons, we can always move through seasons, right? Some may seem a little bit worse than others, right? But maybe you love winter. I don't love winter. So winter feels long to me, right? Summer feels so short, though. And I know it's hot, but I don't want it to end. Right? Yeah. But summer gives me hope for some reason. So I will just end today with just be bold in your faith. Be bold in the words that you say and be mindful of those things that are coming out of your mouth to yourself and to the people around you and make sure that they're fruit. We can see the Spirit of God in the fruit. All right. That's all I have today.